the 120 who were gathered in that upper room probably represented some language groups that were gathered in Jerusalem. But for the most part, it was the proselytes that were there from all around the globe, at least at that known time. And 15 or so languages were recognized as they prayed and worshiped and spoke the wonderful works of God. It wasn't chaos, it wasn't confusion. They understood what was being said because they spoke the wonderful works of God. And but yet it would have been interesting to hear all the different languages being spoken at the same time. I don't know, but what there was just a number of smiles and a number of recognitions of, oh, you're speaking this or you're speaking that. But they did have a question: what meaneth this? And I'm thankful that Peter was able to give a scriptural answer. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Praise God. Amen. And so a good representation of language that was there and the work of God that went forth in such a wonderful way. Amen. And I wonder, we've got some different languages represented here, and I just asked a couple of folks if they would pray in their language, and then we'll join together with them in praying for in English as well. Praise God. Sister Belinda, you come and pray in Tagalog, and we're going to join you in prayer. Come right up here, and I'll give you the microphone, and you're going to pray loud. Praise God. Amen.
Thank the Lord. She's going to pray in Tagalog, then pray in English, and we're going to join with her in praying.
Yes.
Revival.
That's right. This is in Tagalog. Panginoong kong Jesus Kristo ay nag-iisang buhay at tunay na Diyos sa langit at lupa. Mahal na Panginoon, lumalapit po ako sa inyo ng buong mapagkumbaba at nagsisising puso, patawarin po ninyo ang aming mga kasalanan at patawarin din po ninyo ang mga nagkasala sa amin. Mahabaging Panginoon, pagkalooban po ninyo ng kapayapaan ang magulong mundo. Mahabaging Panginoon, pagkalooban po ninyo kami ng grasyang mahalin ang mga mahirap na mahalin na tao. Kalusugan ng may mga sakit, kaligayahan sa mga nagdadalamhati, kaligayahan sa gitna ng pagsubok, pag-asa sa mga walang pag-asa, kalinawan para sa nalilitong pag-iisip, pag-ibig para sa mga taong may galit, kalayaan sa mga inaapi, pat mahal na Panginoon Jesus Kristo, ang aking pangunahing dalangin ay salbasyon ng aming mga mahal sa buhay, mga kapatid, lahat kaming nanin, at sa pagdating ng panahon ay manirahan kami sa inyo sa buhay na walang hanggan. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
My Lord Jesus, the only and true living God on earth and on heaven, beloved Lord, I come to you with a humble and contrite heart, asking to forgive of our sins and those that sins against us. Merciful God, give us peace in this troubled world. Merciful God, give us grace to love the unlovable, healing for those that are sick, joy for those that are mourning, happiness for sadness, hope for those that are in despair, clarity for confused mind, love for hatred, freedom for the oppressed. But most of all, my beloved God, Jesus Christ, my deepest and foremost prayer is for the salvation of our loved ones, for the salvation of our brethren. My hope that someday We will dwell in your house forever. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I think if we were to know what God is doing at this moment around the world, we would be excited, we would be thrilled. Amen. We would give praise and worship to our God. Thank the Lord that we know His goodness and His power. Thank the Lord that there's revival in South America, revival in Africa and Asia. Amen. In the Philippines, praise God. We're trusting the Lord. North America has revival. Amen. God's power, God's goodness, God's blessing. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. And we know His power is real. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God. Brother Alex, come and pray. Praise God. We're praying for families. We're praying for prodigals. We're praying that God would bring forth in His goodness and power now.
Gloria a Dios. Santo, Padre, omnipotente, Señor, te alabo, te bendigo, te glorifico, te doy gracias porque solo tú eres Dios. Solo tú tienes el poder de perdonar pecados. Solo tú tienes el poder de llevarlos contigo al reino de Dios. Y Señor, te pido ahora por nuestros hijos que te necesitan tanto en este tiempo. Señor, te pido que los guíes, que los lleves en el camino en que se deben ir. Señor, te pido que los proteges contra este mundo en que llaman todo bien, que es malo, y todo el malo lo llaman bien. Todo está opuesto, Señor, pero solo en tú tenemos esperanza, solo en tú sabemos que tú tienes la verdad. Y te rogo, Señor, que en este día puedas llevarlos a esos hijos de nosotros en un camino y protegerlos, Señor, en el nombre de Jesucristo. Y también te pido por esos que no están ahora aquí, que en algún tiempo estaban orando con nosotros y pidiéndole que nos guíes y nos protejas, Señor. Te llevo, Lord, a tu santo cielo. Protégelos, Señor. Tráigalos otra vez a esta iglesia tuya. Y, Señor, te pido que en algún día nos vuelvas a juntar con ellos para orar todos juntos y llegar a ese tiempo en el reino de Dios en que estamos contigo en las alturas. Te pido en el nombre de Jesucristo, mi Dios y Salvador. Amén. Heavenly Father, I just pray for you right now and give you thanks for all the glory and the goodness and mercy you bestow upon us each and every day, oh Lord. Jesus, we pray for our children right now, Lord. They are having to live in a world, Lord, where good is called evil and evil is called good, where there is no right and wrong anymore, where, Lord Jesus, the world just seems to be going in a crazy direction, Lord. We know, Lord, we can count that you, Lord, we can count on your truth, oh Lord. We can count on your salvation, oh Lord Jesus. And we ask you to protect them and to guide them, Lord Jesus, to shine upon a light upon their path, oh Father. And Lord, we pray for those prodigals that are not here today, that at one time walked in the truth, oh Lord Jesus, that at one time, Lord, felt your spirit, oh Lord Jesus. And at one time, Lord, we're able to benefit from the grace and mercy that you bestow upon us each and every day, oh Lord Jesus. And we just ask you that someday, Lord, we can come together, Lord, in heavenly places with them once again, Lord Jesus, trusting and hoping in your great salvation, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand and give the Lord praise together right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for your power, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessing, O God. Thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for your compassion that you have. Thank you for the light that you cause to shine into our lives, into our hearts. Thank Thank you, Lord, for being the light of the faith of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, that you are not the author of confusion. You're the author of eternal salvation. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Oh, Jesus Christ, we lift up your great name now. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord. Glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, it's going to be incredible to be in that heavenly realm and hear every language giving praise to our God, amen. Amen. And not being a voice of confusion, not being a voice of chaos, but a voice of praise and of worship unto the Lord. Praise God. And thank the Lord. We have that hope of joining together. Amen. Psalm 117, we want to look at here today. Praise God. I remember hearing a story about Psalm 117. I don't know if it's the shortest chapter in the Bible. It probably is. But a pastor had a contest of who can read the greatest number of chapters, and he would give a prize every Sunday for who would read. And a young boy would just pipe up, "I've read 20 chapters." And he, of course, won the prize. Well, there were some adults that were going to unseat him from that prize. So they would read and report how many, and that young boy would say, "I read 50 chapters," and so on. And just kept going up and going up. Come to find out, he was reading Psalm 117 over and over. That borders on dishonesty, doesn't it? Well, let's read Psalm 117 together. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen, amen. A lot of good actions, a lot of good reasons for that action. Thank God that we know we can give praise to the Lord. And no one need be left out. All the nations, all the people, praise God. Thank God that we can join together in worshiping him. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. All nations, thank the Lord. Now, we know Scripture bears out that the Hebrews are God's chosen people. The divine presence of God for Adam and Eve was evidence as they enjoyed his presence and his voice. And who knows how long that went on until the devil fouled things up. The devil's always going to foul things up. There's nothing good that he's going to bring into your experience. Nothing beneficial that's going to be provided by him. He'll use trickery. He'll use deceit. He'll use false doctrine. He'll use any manner of things to try to get you away from the true worship of God. And unfortunately, he succeeded in that place of paradise. The devil succeeded. So don't think you've got to be, in order to serve God, don't think you've got to be in a very special place, a very special circumstance, a very special time. You just got to make up your mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to obey the Bible. I'm going to walk according to his truth. Amen. But we know Abraham in Genesis 14 and 13 is the first to be called a Hebrew. Now, I read somewhere that that is derived from other words meaning to cross over. Abraham being called out. and being called to go into a land that God would show him. And not only the land that God would show him, but also to become a great nation. And God fulfilled both of those promises. Amen. We quickly move on in the aspect of Hebrew. And Joseph, four times, is identified as a Hebrew. He is alone in the land of Egypt. And already at that time, the land of Egypt was a great empire, a great civilization. Number of things that would stand out and yet remain today because of their architecture, because of their engineering, because of their structures. But Joseph was not fazed, and he did not lose what he had as his heritage. He kept it alive. And I believe that his language was preserved because he prayed in Hebrew, because he called upon the one God that his father Jacob would have imparted to him, because it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he was identified as. Praise God. And so it's amazing that he would be able to hear his brothers come into the court or into the palace where he was, and he could hear them talking about what their life was like, what their father would prefer, and how they should have treated Joseph differently. That must have been an amazing thing, but he held on to that language, amen. And Moses, being called one of the Hebrews' children, and Pharaoh's daughter identifying correctly that the child, the baby crying in the basket in the river, was one of the Hebrews' children. There was always that distinction. There was always that difference. There was always that awareness that they worshiped one true God. Amen. And Miriam volunteered to find someone to take care of Moses, the little baby in the basket. And she volunteered to get a nurse of the Hebrew women. And it was always something that they maintained in terms of their identity. And that was because God chose them. The burning bush that Moses encountered later on, he heard the identity of the God who spoke as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And thank the Lord that maintained in the throughout the history of Israel. We know there were a number of ups and downs. There were a number of times that they forsook the will of God. The hand of God was against them, as it were, because of their idolatry, because of their ideas of departing from the Lord. But thank God, God was still faithful. Amen. In fact, Jesus was able to speak of miracles when he came to the people of Israel. He said there were many widows in Elijah's day, many of them, and obviously there would be. But Elijah was only sent to one, and it was the Shunammite woman. The Lord was making a statement here as far as how the Lord was able to reach out. He went on to say there were many lepers in Elisha's day, but the Lord only came to one, Naaman, who was a Syrian. I'm thankful that the Lord was opening up the options to all. It wasn't going to be just a few that would be identified. In fact, he said God is able to make these rocks into children of Abraham. God is able to make these rocks cry out. Praise God. And I thank the Lord that there can be that demonstration of God and his power. And the Lord ministered in an amazing way to many. There was a Greek woman, a woman of Canaan, a Syrophoenician woman, who came to the Lord and wanted her daughter to be delivered from the devil. The devil is just a such a negative aspect, such a hindrance to people, and one who would not bring anything good, anything positive. It's always going to be negative. And we definitely need to be aware of his devices, like Paul said, and not fall into his traps, not fall into his deceit, and the lack of truth. But this poor woman had a daughter who was possessed of a devil, and she cried out to the Lord for deliverance. Jesus didn't even answer her. It was as though he ignored her. And the disciples did answer for her. They said, "Send her away. We don't want to hear her. We don't want her to be a part of us." But the woman kept on crying out to the Lord. And when the Lord said, "It's not fit to take the bread from the children's table and give it to dogs," you would think she would have gone away in a huff. You would think she would have been greatly offended, that she would have just decided, "I'm not going to spend any more time here. I'm not going to be insulted. I'm not going to be put down." But no, she continued crying out for her daughter. There's got to be something within us that recognizes that the Lord is going to answer. The Lord is going to provide. The Lord is going to bring forth. Praise God. And we pray in English, we pray in tongues, we pray in different languages. Thank God that the hand of the Lord is able to minister when we call upon his name, and he brings forth his power. She asked for a crumb. She believed in the power of the Lord, that it didn't have to be a loaf of bread. It didn't have to be a slice of bread. It could be just the crumbs that fall off the table. That would be adequate. That would be enough. That would be what would provide for the need. And thank God the Lord was able to recognize her faith. He declared to her, "O woman, great is thy faith," and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Thank God for women who hold on to the things of God. Thank the Lord for women of great faith, for women who are able to pray and believe and trust that their family is going to be blessed, their children are going to be blessed, the hand of God is going to be manifest. Amen. We thank the Lord for faithful women and the blessings that would come forth. The centurion sent his request for the servant's healing. And the Lord said that he would come to his house and heal him, heal that servant. The Jews reported that the centurion loved our nation and had built for us a synagogue. But he refused the Lord's offer to come to his house. He said, "I'm not worthy for you to come to my dwelling. Just say in a word." And then he gave the example of authority and what he understood about authority. I'm thankful we call upon the one who has all power in heaven and earth. I'm thankful we have access to the one who can say in a word, and God will do that work. And there will be the miracle. There will be the provision. There will be the answer. Praise God. And he declared, "Speak the word only." And Jesus marveled at his faith, and his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. Praise God. I'm thankful the Lord can do a quick work. I'm thankful he can do a work of healing over a period of time. I'm thankful that he can do a miracle, and the power of the Lord be displayed in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful thing that he's able to do in the physical as well as the spiritual. That Samaritan woman who came to the well, and Jesus spoke to her of the gift of God, of living water. She asked for that living water so I don't have to come to this well any longer. She hadn't made the transition into the spiritual. It was just the physical to her at that time. But the Lord required honesty of her. "Go and get your husband." "I don't have a husband," she said. The Lord requires honesty. The Lord wants us to be sincere. The Lord wants us to be real. The Lord wants us not to just be playing a game that, "Oh, I feel the Lord," and then go live like the devil. No, no. There's got to be the recognition. God put a change in our hearts. God made a difference in our lives. Amen. And we move into the realm of knowing his goodness and his power. The Lord told her, "You've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband." Again, the opportunity to walk away in a huff. The opportunity to be offended, to feel insulted, to have her past presented to her. But she was aware of what the Lord was providing for her, and how there was a progressive revelation that she had. "I perceive you're a prophet. Oh, definitely. Praise God. But much more than that. Much more than that. Thank God that He knows about our lives, past, present, and future. Thank God that He's taken care of our past, that He's here in our present to minister in a powerful way. And He's already in our tomorrow. He's already in our next week, next month, next year, whatever the Lord would have in store for us. Thank God that He promised a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Thank the Lord that He ministered to those who would be called maybe unworthy or unrecognized or someone that could be ignored, but the Lord didn't ignore. Thank God He stepped into the situation. He moved to the need and He provided the answer because He included all. Amen. John 1 and 12, the scripture says, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Oh, thank the Lord that there is that kind of power. And when He spoke to Nicodemus, when He spoke to the one who was a ruler of the Jews, He included everyone. Everyone born of the Spirit. Thank God there is that powerful experience that's available to all. Being born again, the past is dealt with, the future is assured. We're born again. Oh, thank the Lord, He is a God of the second chance. And born of the water and born of the Spirit are concrete experiences. Not just hope, not just think, not just believe, but we know that we know that we know, hallelujah, that God has done a work. Amen. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, the Lord says. And oh, thank God, He goes on to describe what it would be like to be filled with His Spirit. And how that it comes because the Scripture would promise it. The Scripture has made it clear. We believe as the Scripture has said. But the important thing to understand here is the Lord opened it up to everybody. Any man, many that believe, everyone can receive. Thank God that the Lord would provide it in that manner, in that way, because those rivers of living water, that well of water springing up into everlasting life is enough for everybody. Hallelujah. Nobody need be left out. Nobody need be cheated by the devil's lies. Thank God it can be opened up to all. Amen. And all nations is who the Lord included. Praise God. And I'm thankful that Jesus imparted to His disciples a command and the promise, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Thank God we know that name. That name, amen. Not the titles, but the name. The name above every name. Hallelujah. The power of that wonderful name. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That beginning at Jerusalem was so significant because that's where the Spirit was poured out for the first time. That's where they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the first time. That's when tongues were spoken, praise God, and the power of the Lord came forth in an amazing way. Oh, thank God, there was a beginning and there's a continuation. It's not ended yet. It's not over yet. God is still pouring out His Spirit. It's still happening. All nations can still receive what the Lord has provided. Praise God. Amen. That woman at the well witnessed to those in Samaria. There were many who came to the Lord and later reported to her, now we believe. Not because just of your word, but because we've heard Him ourselves. Amen. It's good to get your own experience. It's good to know that God can touch you. God can minister to you. God can provide for you. God can give answers to you. Praise God. And so Philip went and preached Christ to those at Samaria. There were miracles. There were signs. There was deliverance. There was healing. And there was great joy in the city. Wouldn't there be? That's what the Lord brings. That's what the Lord provides. That's what the Lord ministers. Hallelujah. Great joy in the city because of the miracles, the signs, the deliverance, the healing. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. And then Peter and John came from Jerusalem into that place of Samaria. Now you got to remember, they were nervous about going to places like that. They avoided places like Samaria. They went way around that. But now because of the command of God, because of the Lord, including everybody, because God was showing what he was going to do, they came right to Samaria. They laid hands on them and God poured out his Spirit. Hallelujah. Upon them, because all nations are included. Amen. Now we read about the centurion earlier, and there is a centurion in Acts chapter 10 named Cornelius, a devout man. He feared God. He gave much alms. He prayed. He fasted. He served the Lord in this manner. And then he had a vision of an angel. The angel told him to send to Joppa from one named Simon Peter, and he will tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house can be saved. It would seem like he's already saved. In fact, he would probably be an outstanding member in many of the churches across the land today. Oh, we're glad to have a man of Cornelius's caliber. He is just an amazing man. He's in the military, but that doesn't stop him from serving God. He's a man who has many credentials and many qualifications, but he was commanded by that angel to send for a preacher. And he was obedient, because at the same time, Peter was having a vision. Peter was up on the rooftop. He was separated from everybody else having his time of prayer. Amen. And thank God that the Lord visited him with a vision as well. It seemed like a strange vision. It seemed like it was a time of confusion. And Peter argued with the Lord. No, Lord, I'm not going to rise. I'm not going to slay. I'm not going to eat. Because I have never eaten an unclean animal. Now, what was that about? You have to remember, it starts out by saying heaven was opened. That's what the Lord was doing. That's what the Lord was assuring Peter. I'm going to open heaven to everybody. I'm not going to keep it closed. It's not just going to be the Hebrews. It's not just going to be a select few that have been chosen. No, I'm going to open heaven. Praise God. And that which God hath cleansed, call not thou common and unclean. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord does a work. Amen. Not just a cleansing of the outward body, but no, he cleanses our hearts. He cleanses our mind. He cleanses our emotions. He takes care of the spiritual realm. He moves in such a way that a man could be born again. Hallelujah. Cornelius was obedient. Peter was obedient because God meant what he said in the prophecy that Joel wrote down. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. And it happened just as Peter preached. Praise God. The Holy Ghost came upon those who heard him declare, to him give all the prophets witness that whosoever believeth on his name shall receive remission of sins. There it is again. Remission of sins. Just like they had on the day of Pentecost. Now Cornelius and his household were about to receive remission of sins because the Holy Ghost was poured out upon them. They spoke in other tongues just like they did back in that day in Jerusalem. And then Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Thank God that it can be fulfilled. Thank God that everyone can receive it. Thank God that the power of the Lord would be there in an amazing way. And God's blessings come forth tremendously. Praise God. That's why Paul could declare, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Thank God for the power of the Lord, that God would include everybody. In Galatians 3 and 27, he said, as many of you, thank God for the many, as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. You're baptized in the name of the one who died for you. Praise God. There's neither Jew nor Greek, he went on to say. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank God that the Lord includes every one of us. Thank God that the power of the Lord is there to minister in such a wonderful way. The wisdom of God and the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Thank God that everyone can respond with the idea that I'm going to obey God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to follow God. His word is not going to be wasted on me. I'm going to do what his word declares. Praise God. And oh, the tremendous results are there as well. Amen. Paul and Silas came to the island of Paphos. And there was a man in charge there named Sergius Paulus. And they wanted to share the word of God with him. But guess what? The devil showed up. The sorcerer wanted to deter what Paul and Silas were preaching. And so Sergius Paulus was distracted, and his sorcerer was trying to pull him away. But God gives power, power for salvation and power for judgment. And finally, Paul got tired of what that Elymas was doing and said, you're going to be blind. And immediately he was feeling for somebody to lead him, to guide him, because darkness came upon him. He chose to live in the darkness of the devil, and darkness physically came upon him. Oh God, help us. Help us, Lord, to continue in the light. Amen. Not love darkness, but know to walk in the light as he is in the light, and fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for that power and that blessing. Lydia was a merchant in Thyatira, and she had prayer meetings down at the river. Paul and Silas went and joined in that prayer meeting, praise God, and they preached Jesus, and she received it and her household. Amen. There was a woman who was possessed of the devil. She was able to tell fortunes in a deceptive way, and everybody was just so in awe about it all. And she came forth declaring, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they show unto us the way of salvation. Sounds pretty good. Keep it up. Keep going. Keep yelling. Keep advertising. But no, Paul didn't want the association. Paul didn't, the Bible says, to avoid all appearance of evil. And he did not want to be associated with what the devil was doing through her. And so he cast the devil out. Praise God. That's the power of the name of Jesus Christ. That's the blessing that we can call upon. That's the authority that you have, amen, in the name that you've been baptized in. Thank God for that power and that glory and that blessing, amen. But the people were upset. They got aggravated. And Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. God didn't forsake them. God didn't give up on the situation. No, at midnight they were praising and worshiping God. They were lifting up the name of the Lord. They were calling upon him for his presence. Even though their backs were bruised and bloody, even though their feet were made fast in the stocks, the Lord showed up. Hallelujah. An earthquake. Oh, you would think that would go from bad to worse. You'd think the building would be collapsing around about them. Dust flying and all kinds of things going on. But what happened was everybody's bonds were loosed. Every door was open. Praise God. The Lord knows how to bring freedom. The Lord knows how to bring liberty. The Lord knows how to bring power and blessing to those who are bound. Amen. That Philippian thought he had to forfeit his life because the prisoners were escaped. That's what was required in the Roman Empire. If a prisoner escaped that was under your care, your life was forfeit in place of theirs. The jailer was about to kill himself. But Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." And then he called for a light. Why did he call for a light? Because it was dark. Dark in that dungeon. Dark in that prison. So how could Paul know he was going to do himself harm? How could he know they were all there? Because the Spirit was working through him. Amen. And God wanted to reach out to that Philippian jailer. God wanted to reach out to every one of them. Praise God. And thank the Lord. That Philippian jailer was baptized that night. Him and all of his household. God wants to bring every household into his kingdom. God wants to rescue everyone in every household. Praise God. Because he will leave nobody out. Amen. Philosophers and politicians. Paul preached to them on Mars Hill. He preached to Governor Felix, and then Governor Festus, and then King Agrippa and his wife Bernice. Amen. And even Caesar Augustus. The Lord includes everybody. He doesn't want anybody left out. Everybody's given that chance, given that opportunity. Praise God. And thank the Lord. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4 and 22 that there were those of Caesar's household that Paul said would bring you greeting. Oh, thank God that the Lord can do a great work no matter who and no matter how. Praise God. Because it's whosoever will. Whosoever will. Let him take the water of life freely. You can put yourself in that picture. I'm whosoever. Praise God. And I exercised my will. I said, I want it. I said, I'll seek it. I said, I believe it. Praise God. And the Lord honored his word and filled me with his Spirit. Amen. And many of you likewise can have that same experience and know the blessing of the Lord that is real and the power of God that is great. No wonder the psalm is telling us to praise the Lord because of his merciful kindness is great, because his truth endureth forever. Thank God that we can praise him, that we can exalt him, that we can lift him up. And I'm thrilled to read in Revelation that there is those out of every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation that have been redeemed, and the hand of God has been displayed to all nations. That phrase is repeated in Revelation 7:9. It's first found in Revelation 5:9, then Revelation 7:9, a multitude that could not be numbered. Oh, what's it going to be like to step into that realm of glory and praise and worship under the one who sits upon the throne? Praise God for the power and the blessing. And again, in Revelation 14:6, all are included in the everlasting gospel. And again, it's every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation. Three times in the Word of God, in Revelation, it is mentioned. And I thank God, all can be included. And I'm so thankful God included me. God called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. God said, you can be part of the chosen generation. You can be part of the holy nation. You can be part of the special people. Hallelujah. Thank God for the hand of the Lord that is demonstrated in a wonderful way. And we can walk in that light and know that blessing and know that goodness. Praise God. Because he includes all. Amen. Stand with me now, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Jonah was a reluctant missionary. a reluctant evangelist. He did not want to go to Nineveh. He did not want to offer them a chance of repentance. He did not want to see them receive the blessing of the Lord. They had treated the Hebrew nation terribly. They had massacred. They had brought into slavery. They had done horrible things to his people. He did not want them to receive a chance for the blessing of the Lord. But he took a detour, and then God said, okay, if you want a detour, I'll give you a detour. And down in the whale's belly he went. And he cried out to the Lord. Seaweed wrapped around his head. He must have been a sight. But he ended up on the shore. Amen. Didn't walk on the water. He rode in the water. And now he's walking to Nineveh, a huge city, a day and a half until he would get into the center of it. And then he didn't preach love. He didn't preach forgiveness. He didn't preach compassion and kindness. He preached judgment. Judgment. That was his preference. But Nineveh repented. Nineveh called on God. Nineveh turned their hearts to the Lord. That's what it takes. Amen. So that we can receive the blessing that God has in store for us. Oh Lord, forgive me. Oh Lord, change me. Oh Lord, help me. Amen. And I'm thankful the Lord delights in answering that kind of prayer. I'm thankful that heaven rejoices. The presence of the angels, there's rejoicing when one sinner repents. Praise God. And thank the Lord. All nations, all people, included a young boy in a Tlingit village in southeast Alaska, 15 years old, coming to an altar of prayer and believing that God was going to forgive. God was going to cleanse. Hallelujah. And I got up from that altar feeling like I'm not going back. I'm not turning around. I'm going on. Praise God. The waters of baptism, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, an answer to the call of the ministry, the hand of God being displayed over and over. Through many tests, through many trials, through many circumstances. But oh, the blessings are wonderful. The blessings are powerful. The presence of the Lord continuous. The goodness of God being poured out again and again. Why would I want to turn back? Why would I want to seek something else? It's all empty out there. But in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. Amen. The joy is unspeakable and full of glory. And I'm going to keep going. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep going. Praise God. Come and pray with me in this altar right now. Amen. Let's desire the Lord with all of our hearts. Let's hold on to Him with our whole being. Let's determine, I'm going to follow You, God. I'm going to believe You, God. I'm going to serve You, God. Hallelujah. I'm going to do Your will. Amen. And oh, thank God, He's delighted to come to your aid. He'll minister to you. He'll provide for you. He'll bless you. He'll lift you up. Praise God, because it's the power of His name that makes a difference. Let's love Him together right now. Amen. Let's praise Him. Let's glorify Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.